Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Reno City Councilwoman Naoma Jardin. She's been through a scare with breast cancer, but has come through magnificently, plus a lot of local issues on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome, after quite an absence, so we're pleased to have you back, Naoma Jardin, who's a Reno City Councilwoman. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Glad to be back.
So, you've had your incident with breast cancer, and you went through the struggle. You are back to full health, I understand.
Yes.
Which is wonderful. Congratulations on that for you and your family. But what blew my mind was pictures about a week or so ago of you in a bodybuilding display. You're in the most incredible shape of anybody I know. I mean, how did that happen? Why did it happen? And what's the message that you sent out and the response you received back?
Well, 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was diagnosed after I had had the standard mammogram, and it came back clear. And I had some friends, Heather Reimer and Lori Winfelt and Wendy Damani, who had launched a nonprofit called Each One Tell One. And it was advocating that if you have dense breast tissue, you may want additional screenings. Oftentimes, standard mammograms won't catch it. Well, I felt like something was wrong. It wasn't really a lump, but just intuition. And having spoken with them about Each One Tell One, I went and had additional screenings, and I had cancer. So I was very fortunate. It was very early stage. I did a lumpectomy and radiation, and cancer-free. Very excited about that. But after many cancer patients go through the process of the surgeries and the treatments, once you get to the end of that, and it's been a battle and it's been horrible for yourself and your family, you find yourself in this weird, I call it the cancer cave, where you sit and you kind of wait, is the cancer coming back? Every pain, every exam, you sit in this state of wonder and worry. And your body has been scarred, your emotional state has been weakened, your stamina has been weakened as well. And part of Each One Tell One was breast cancer to bikini. And what that is, it's a 6-month program where you work out 6 days a week, multiple times a day, very clean eating with all other cancer survivors. So it's at Evoke Fitness under the guidance of Mena Spodobolsky. And at the end of that 6 months, which you've learned so much about health and fitness and yourself and the camaraderie, you do a fitness competition, which is terrifying when you can imagine you're putting on this tiny little green bikini in front of 1,000+ people, but it's really not about that. It's about this group of women that have bonded for life, and you had the guts to go through it, and you got on stage.
6 times a week, multiple times a day, is an incredible fitness regime. Most people who work out don't do anything close to that.
Well, and when you start, and the women that were chosen, 40 women applied, 20 were chosen, 16 finished. And they're from ages 25 to 68. And everyone's fitness levels when we started were drastically diminished and very different. And some were coming right off of treatments. And so everybody starts from a very low level of fitness that we're all in the same boat. And each time you struggle through one workout and you think, oh my goodness, I'm never gonna make it through this, you make it to the next one. And then you make it to the next one. You're getting stronger and your stamina is getting better. And we did grueling workouts. You know, 4:15 is when my alarm went off every day.
Wow.
And we made it through.
You know, and to add into this, and I don't think most people realize this, elected officials, city council people, county commissioners, your schedules are insane to begin with. I mean, one of the reasons I would never run for office is you start so early in the morning and you're at dinners late at night. How did you keep up the pace?
You know, you really had to. I got very regimented with my scheduling. And luckily through the workout programs, they had some flexibility in the times that you could come, which was great. And like I said, every morning that alarm would go off at 4:15 and you would do 45 minutes of fasted cardio and then you would go do an hour workout and then I would go to work. And then when you'd get home at whatever time it was, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you'd do another 40 to 45 minutes of cardio and then you'd do it the next day. So you just scheduled everything out pretty in a regimented way and you just got it done and you took it one day at a time.
All right, so you're not a kid. How does the person you are now compare with who you were as a kid in terms of fitness, energy, mental state?
You know what, that's the whole thing and why I kind of lived my treatments and this process out loud, was to let people know that even though I was an athlete in high school and was, you know, relatively fit most of my life, I'm pushing 50 and, everybody's fitness kind of wanes a little bit. And this to me showed no matter what your circumstances, particularly if you've had breast cancer or what your fitness level is, if you make your fitness and your health a priority, you will get what you want at the end. So my stats are, I lost 15 pounds, I dropped 30% body fat. I am in the best shape of my life right
now.
Oh,
definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've known you quite a while. And I mean, you look fabulous.
And we're all sticking with it. We didn't want to just get to that point of the stage and that moment and then just drop off a cliff and not stay together, because there really is a bond that we'll have forever. But to keep our fitness going, and my energy is through the roof. It's just an incredible organization, complete nonprofit. Everybody donates their time. The bikinis were all custom made, and that was all donated. So we're just very, very thankful, and I certainly am.
Okay, so what's your advice to somebody who's in their 20s, 30s at this point and not taking care of themselves? What's your advice to them?
You know, the advice is, and I think a lot of people are concerned with this, they always think, I can't do that boot camp class, or I can't lift that weight, or I can't. And you know what, at first, no, you can't. But you have to start somewhere. And, we went from when we started this program, barely being able to do, 5 and 8 pound weights. We were lugging 40 pound weights around at the end. And the recovery, I hate to run. And at the end, was running fast and finishing and catching my breath right away. So, it's one of those things that if you make yourself the priority, you need to be a little selfish. Make your health the priority, because if you don't stay healthy, you're not gonna be able to do all the other things you want in your life. And you need to, like I did, you calendar it and you stick with it.
You know, that really is the truth to everything. People always ask me, how do you get everything done? It's like, you have to put it on the calendar. If you want to take a 3-week trip, you got to put it on the calendar a year in advance and know that that's the goal you're working towards, and then you can stick with it. Okay, so what's your husband's response to all of this?
He was very supportive, as was my son. There was parts of it as you go through the meal prep. So Sundays were always meal prep because you do everything in advance for the week. And they were on board with it to a degree, but when you're doing 5 and 6 meals a day that are primarily fish, chicken, brown rice, and egg whites, that gets a little old, for sure. But very, very supportive, and I would still cook for, you know, them something separate sometimes to so they wouldn't have to suffer through all those meals with me.
But your husband has to be thrilled.
Oh, he's thrilled, and he, you know, I don't think he loved the alarm probably going off at 4:15 every single morning, but he understood, and he understood that, you know, he was there with me through all of it, and he saw post-surgery and post-treatments how you still stay in this really funky cancer cave. And you need to do something to bring yourself out of it. And I've had so many people reach out and say, you know, you've inspired me to go start my fitness journey. You've inspired me to start eating better. You've inspired me to take that first step. And that's really what it is. Just take that first step and each day you'll get a little stronger.
Do you have a relationship with Carolyn Goodman, Las Vegas mayor?
I have met her. I don't know her well.
Okay. I mean, I can't say I know her well. I've known her for many years. She's 80 years old and has been fighting breast cancer. And yet, if you visit with her, you would never know that there's anything wrong. I mean, just an incredibly dynamic woman, and what a brain. I mean, she's just amazing. Let's take a break. We'll come to some local topics that are going on that are very interesting, to say the least. We'll be right back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Naoma Jardin, the Reno City Councilwoman, talk about things going on in Reno. Obviously, we're in the middle of the greatest boom that Reno has ever seen, and I, you know, I'm a pro-growth person. I think it's wonderful. But there have been some strange things going on in the last week or two. The first one, and for folks who watch and listen to this program in Southern Nevada, we have a park near a renowned hospital called Pickett Park, where the homeless that we've had in town have been camping. A threat was issued that they were going to be removed, and locals responded in a way that I was really pleased about, but also a little surprised. Do you want to share for people that don't know about this story what happened?
So the issues surrounding homelessness, I think everybody's aware. I think the biggest two issues that we are currently faced is housing and homelessness, and those are intertwined for sure. And what had happened was we did have some homeless that were camping out at the park, and there was an individual, an organization that believed that they were going to go to the park and they were going to do citizens' arrests of these homeless. And they had posted a few things and put a flyer together. And the response from the community to me was incredible, because they were compassionately caring about these homeless individuals and wanting to protect our most vulnerable. And they responded in a way that said, let's go to the park and let's ensure that the homeless individuals have what they need, and make sure that there's not a confrontation and they're not being harmed by these folks that are attempting to do this, the ridiculous,
citizens arrest. And people showed up with food. They showed up with supplies.
Everybody showed up with food and supplies. I helped connect one of the homeless individuals with a place to stay. Another individual helped with some of the storage of her items. A number of people helped to clean up the park. And they just came together in a way that said, you know, we understand that there is a homeless issue. And I think there are many fronts that are working to help address it. It's not going to be cured overnight. It's not going to be one silver bullet that's going to fix it. But certainly a kind of rogue, vigilante, confrontational approach, an arrest. We're not going to arrest our way out of it. You can't do those types of citizens' arrests anyway. Is not the appropriate way to do it. And the community showed up in mass in a very compassionate way, and I was very pleased to see that.
Does it concern you when you travel to the Bay Area, especially in Oakland, and see the homeless camps, and the concern that you must have for, you know, could this happen to Reno?
Absolutely. I think we at the city are looking at very creative and diverse ways that we can not have that happen here. And, you know, whether we're looking at the tiny home village or the dorms that are on Sage Street, those types of housing options which can help to serve those populations so that we're not having those types of sidewalk encampments and, you know, those types of things. So we're always looking at those sorts of things, and we continue to try to find resources to help us do that, to get the people back on their feet and back to being productive members of society, not just housing them in an emergency shelter, but really wraparound service and addressing some of the underlying issues that brought them to that in the first place.
Are there other communities on the West Coast that are sending people who are down on their luck to Reno at this point?
You know, I know that's...
I hate to say this, but Reno has been guilty of that in the past.
And I, you know, hear that with some regularity, but we just had a presentation at the Community Homeless Advisory Board, which is a regional board that was never previously existed, which to me is a great sign that we're all coming together to address the issue. And they confirmed that 75% of our homeless population are local. So I don't know that there's legitimacy to people being bused in. I do hear that sometimes, but the numbers, at least on the overall percentage, they're local.
All right, let's take a break. We've got other issues to discuss when we come back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both. But more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Naoma Jardin. She's a Reno City Councilwoman. big project in South Reno on the former Butler Ranch, 5,000 homes initially, and now it's going to be around a little less than 4,000 homes. But a lot of controversy about that. As we're taping this, there was a citizen's editorial in the Reno Gazette Journal. I wish they would identify them as this is not an official source, this is just somebody's opinion, decrying this development. And you were one of the people, you were named in the article, you were also one of the supporters of this project. My understanding is because Oscar Delgado, another city councilman, it's his ward, he was supporting it, and therefore you were supporting his vote. We desperately need housing. Edon has made it very clear we need 50,000 new housing units over the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And if we don't start building them, and we're behind, it's not like we're in front of this issue at this point. Are you comfortable that the developer has mitigated the concerns that people have had over this project?
I believe that they have, and I think from where this project started initially, and I was one of the no votes the first time it came through, to where it was ultimately approved, I think they did make some significant changes. You know, they reduced the density, they increased some of the flood mitigation concerns, and I do understand this is in a floodplain, but as are many, many developments in our region.
We live in a valley surrounded by mountains.
City Hall's
Hello.
In a floodplain.
Yes.
And when you looked at the engineering and the ways in which they were going to address potential flood impacts, not only within their own project, but within surrounding neighborhoods, the creativity of their product to meet the needs of what we're really needing in our community right now, the diversity of the housing and this kind of master planned, really well thought out community. I was a supporter of it, and I'm glad to see that project get underway because we desperately do need the housing.
Is there an ability for the city and potentially the county to hold the developer responsible if the mitigation efforts are not successful or if they are not up to the level that were promised? Some kind of clawback?
There are some measures that help to protect in that instance, but really what the protection is their upfront engineering, that they will be held to a standard which is well above what our standard mitigations are, that gave us the level of comfort that the flood issues they sufficiently addressed.
Are you comfortable that we have enough housing developers coming into the marketplace to be able to deal with the need that we have? Because, I moved to Reno in 1978, and that was when the MGM opened. And that was 1,000 rooms, and it changed the city forever in a positive way as far as growth goes. This is 1,000 times bigger. And now we're seeing Lance Gilman and Roger Norman building another business park in Fernley. But we know that a lot of the housing is going to be coming to Reno and Sparks. Do you think that we have enough in the pipeline to accommodate this, or are you concerned about that?
I am always concerned about that. I think when you look at the numbers, when we went back and looked at the EPIC report on what the projections of the population and the incoming growth would be, I think there were some that kind of said, oh, that's not going to come to reality. Well, it is, and then some. And the growth is only going to continue for the foreseeable future.
And 20 years?
20 years. And the developers are responding to that growth. They're not creating it. And I think that's what people sometimes misunderstand is these, evil developers are creating this growth. And they're not. They're being responsive to it to try to meet it. And it's going to keep coming. So to answer your question, we need more. We need more, particularly on the affordable side. And we need it yesterday. So we've got a lot of work to do. I think we've done some good work, but we still have much to do.
And do you think that city government, county government is doing enough to provide incentives to developers to build the affordable housing that's going to be needed? Because, personally, I think it's great that we're knocking down these old disgusting motels that nobody should be living in, but we also need to have new housing to accommodate those folks.
Yes, and you do have to be sensitive to where they're being relocated to in those instances. We're always looking at ways in which we can spur housing stock, particularly on the affordable side. So whether it's the mayor's initiative she recently did to kind of kick some fees to the back end instead of the front end, we're looking at all sorts of things to try to bring, you know, property from the city to help get those affordable projects to go vertical. But I did hear some unfortunate news recently from industry experts that said, even if the city gave property and waived every fee, which is really the only tools in our toolbox at this point, they still couldn't make an affordable project pencil. And that was disheartening to me. So we have to find other ways, and you know, whether it's a federal or state level, you know, what it may be to help get these projects to go, because we're just not seeing enough of them to help meet the needs.
Okay, just a quick answer, because we're really out of time already. But do you see Fernley, Fallon as places where affordable housing is going to be built, and therefore do we need transportation between those areas to Reno so people can actually afford to live out there?
You know, I think there will always be some that will live in those areas, but I think we thought that was also going to occur in the last 7 to 10 years with the development at the Tri-Center, and it's happening, but not to the volume. I mean, people still want to live in the Reno Sparks hub area where there are the amenities and the services that they want. But always, you know, if the affordable ends up being out there and people need to commute, as an RTC commissioner, you have to look at ways to accommodate that. But you also need your Story and your Lyon County partners to help you get there. Washoe County can't be funding transport into other jurisdictions without their assistance.
And that's where we have to leave it. Come back soon.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? Are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next show.